Bekuta Sichas Chelek Yud Zayin, Parsha Tazria Sicha Beis. This is also a Siyim of Masechta Kinim and Seder Kotrim. Ben Gei Ayoildes was is Mechuyah bringing Keves Gemel Oila and Ben Yoina Eter Lachatos. In regards to a woman that gave birth, that goes through a certain period of being Tomei, and then in order to bring it, to come back to a state of Tara, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, she had to bring two karbonas, one as an oila and one as a chatas. V'im le simtze yoda deise, and if she couldn't afford to bring a lamb as a karbon, v'lokcha shtei teirim, then she should take two birds, oishnei b'nei yoina, there's either older birds or younger birds, doves or different types of birds, but they're two distinct birds, and you can't mix them together, echad le'ila v'echad le'chatas. One is an oila and one is a chatas. So those are the karbonas that she has to bring. We're going to deal with a woman that brings two birds as her karbonas. Zok the Mishnah Masechta Tekinim. So in regards to this, the Mishnah says at the end of Masechta Tekinim, Kinim means the nests, meaning the laws of the karbonas that are brought from birds. So the Mishnah says, Aisha she'amra arei alai kein kishe'elet zohar. If a woman took a nether. She made a commitment that when she gives birth, or if she gives birth to a male child, she will bring a pair of birds as a korban. What she meant by that is that she's going to give over and above what she is obligated to give as a result of the tumah in order to bring herself to tara. She will give an additional set of birds, pair of birds. She took upon herself to bring an additional carbon in addition to what the Torah already obligates her. So bring an echad oila v'echad l'chatas. The Torah obligates her to bring one oila and one chatas. She took upon herself to bring an additional carbon, yolda zachar, and then she did in fact give birth to a male child. She brings two sets of birds, two pairs of birds, one to fulfill her own commitment, and one to fulfill the commitment that the Torah gives her, the obligation that the Torah gives her. She gave them to the Kayin. She gave him four birds to bring as a korban. Two pairs. So the Kohen has to bring three of them. He has to sprinkle the blood above the center point of the Mizbeach, which is where the carbon oila is, blood is sprinkled. The Achas Mulmatan, and one of them, which is the carbon chatos, he has to sprinkle the blood beneath the center point of the Mizbeach. Vos di zwei Eifes von ihr Nedde seine beide Eulas, because the two carbonate, the two birds that she brings as a personal commitment are both carbon oila, because you cannot bring a carbon chatas as a voluntary carbon, only a carbon oila. So both of her nether birds are treated as done as an oila. When oich ein oif funim kein l'chayvasa, as well as one of the two birds that she brings to fulfill the obligation that the Torah gives her as a woman that gave birth, is an oila. One of those is also an oila. So you have a total of three oilas, a canal. Echad l'oila v'echad l'chatas, as the pasuk said, one for an oila, one for a chatas. And the din is as chatas oif nasa l'mata, and the law, the halacha is that a chatas of a bird is sprinkled beneath the center point of the mizbeach, and oila oif nasa l'mayla, and the oila of an oif is done above the center point. The Mishnah zog b'tchilas ha-masechta, as the Mishnah tells us at the beginning of the masechta. So the kayan has to bring three on the top and one on the bottom. The Noach is the Mishnah Meisif from a Farid. Then the Mishnah goes on and adds and gives details and specifics. The Dinim Benazver Toys of Sveikas. The Mishnah goes into a whole description of when there was mistakes made, questions, were not sure what should have been done and what was done. First of all, there could be a question of what exactly did the woman commit. In addition to that, what exactly did the Kayan do? Did he do the right thing or did he make a mistake? When his Messiah midim gresten solsfakis and goes on and concludes with the greatest amount of mistakes that can complicate the situation, what happens is this. She gave it to the Kohen, and he was unaware that this was, that's the first mistake that was made. He was unaware that two of them are a personal commitment, so he didn't realize that it was supposed to be two oilas, those two birds. So he thought that it was two oilas and two chatas, so he brought it that way. That's one mistake. So now she has to bring another carbon in order to make up for that carbon chatas, which was brought in error, and she has to bring a carbon oila to make up for that one. So that's one level of a mistake, which obligates her to bring an additional bird. So now we're up to five. And then the Mishnah goes on to list all kinds of other mistakes. We're not sure if she committed to bring a toir or a yoina, because she may have specified that she's going to bring this kind of bird and that kind of bird. What did she actually bring in the end? What did the kayin do with them? So it becomes more and more stacked questions and mistakes, and comes to the final, the maximum amount of birds that she will have to bring in order to make up for all of these levels of mistakes and questions could be up to seven and perhaps even eight. If she accepted to do from two different types, the Torah, and we don't know what exactly the Kohen did with those birds, is so she has to bring another four birds, Linadara, four more to make up what her personal commitment, and two for the obligatory ones, v'chatos achas, and in addition to this, one chatos. Benazeh m'shtei chatos. Benazeh says that she has to actually bring two carbon chatos. Briefly, the reason that Benazeh says that she has to bring two carbon chatos, because this goes to a machloikis of, according to the Chachamim, the oila always follows the chatos. The chatos becomes the center carbon, and the oila has to be done in the same type, the same. If it's a toir, then the oila has to be a toir. If it's a ben yoina, then the oila has to be a ben yoina. Whereas Benazai says that whatever was brought as the first carbon, if that's an oila, then the chatos has to follow that one. So if the carbon was brought as the first one was brought as a toir, then the chatos has to be a toir. If the oila was brought as the first one was brought as a ben yoina, then the chatos also has to be a ben yoina. And since we don't know what happened, so therefore you have to bring two carbon chatos, one a toir, one a ben yoina, to make sure that it matches the first carbon that was brought. Vayter is the Mishnah Mamshich. Then the Mishnah continues. Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said, "Zeu she'amru," and this is what is meant when they said by that expression that is said in the world, "Kishu chai." When the lamb, when the sheep is alive, kaylei achas echad, then it has one voice. That's what it can do. It can bleat. That's what it does. There's only one voice that comes from it. Ukeshu meis kaylei shiva. But when he dies, there are seven different sounds that come from a sheep. Ketzad, how do we have seven? Kaylei shiva, how do we have seven sounds? Beis kron of l'shtei chatzeitzeris. The two horns can be used for two trumpets, like a shofar. Shtei shokin l'shtei chalilim. The two thigh bones can be made into like a flute type of an instrument. So that's four. Oirei l'tayf. The skin can be used for a drum. You put the top over a drum. Meyav l'nevolim. The intestines can be stretched and made into the strings for, let's say, a cello, a larger string instrument. B'nei Me'av, the thinner intestines, can be made into the strands for a violin. So you have seven different sounds, or seven different instruments. V'yesh Oimrim, and some say, aft simre l'tcheles, also the wool of the sheep can be used to make blue wool, which was hung at the bottom of the me'il, of the robe that the Kohen Gadol wore, which had on the bottom bells, and when these pomegranates banged into the bells, they made the sound of the bell ringing, so therefore that's another sound that can come from the wool. So the Mefarshim explained, what is Rabbi Yeshua saying? Zeu she'amru, this is the same as saying, kishu chai, that when it's alive it has one sound, and then later it has seven. What it means is k'shem v'baya keves, just like by a sheep. As dafke dur dem basin em is far yukum and a kilkul meis, that it's because it was compromised. It died when the sheep dies. There are so many more sounds that can come from it. When it was alive, there was only one sound, and when it dies, when it's compromised, there are seven. Nisrabu baya mitzvahs. So in other words, that the sounds are associated with mitzvahs. All of these were sounds which were there to play in the Beis HaMikdash and so on. Shiva, the Shemayna, seven or eight, according to the Yeshayimim. So also in the kinim, in the birds that we described about the woman that gave birth, by a yoldis as mitchil lahatzi blois gedarf bringing kain lin nedar of a kain lechayvasa. If everything would have gone as planned, smoothly, without mistakes, without being compromised, then he only has to bring two and another two. Undafkets leave the toys was fakus, and only because of these stacked mistakes and questions, ein yadas ma kova ve'ein yadua hakayim hikriv, because we're unsure what exactly did she commit, we're not sure what the kayin actually did. So because of these multiple questions that come up, tavzi bringin zibim other acht, she has to bring seven or eight karbonas. L'das ben Azeh, according to ben Azeh, there's an eighth one, which is the karbon chatas. So the same as over there, because of the compromise situation, that's why it increases the number of karbonas that have to be brought. But according to this explanation, we have to understand. Number one, if them inyan as milchatchil is given mer nish vi ein zach, und dafke doch in kilkul geetz beveren sieben zachen. To bring out this point that when everything goes smoothly, it's only one. And then when it becomes compromised, the situation becomes compromised, now it multiplies into seven. For that, there are many, many examples that could be given to show that point. Vila Marshall, for instance, a dugma pshuta for nechasim, a simple example would be from someone's possession, somebody's assets. If a father passes away and there's seven or eight heirs, so you have the same situation. Kolzman, the Meirish lept, as long as the father, the one that bequeaths this estate to his children, as long as he was alive, Gerin and Chosim say, mensch, they belong to one person. Shumais, now that he died and was compromised, and the kinder Yashin and the Chosim, and now the children inherit the assets. Now it's divided into seven or eight people. Now seven or eight people own it. In other words, that it's what was owned by one person is now owned by seven or eight people. Which also in mitzvahs, there are more mitzvahs that are possible now. For instance, if it was a field that he bequeathed to his children, which he owned one large field, now it's divided up into seven or eight people. Each one of those seven or eight people has to give their own payah. They have to leave the corner of the field unharvested in order for the poor people. So the father was only leaving one corner. Now that he gave it to seven or eight children, each one has to leave their own payah, so it multiplies the amount of mitzvahs that are being done. Same with bikurim, the first fruits, which is only a small amount of fruits, but each person has to give it. Now seven or eight people are giving bikurim, and so on. If you had a chelik asada for every part of the field, was fanandigetel givaron siyedin bazunda, which was divided now amongst the seven or eight children. Bedugma vidaribe akabanus by the elder, similar to the many karbanos which are brought by this one woman because of the mistakes that were made, because of the compromise. Now it multiplied into seven or eight karbanos. So from them was Rabbi Yeshua bring dafke di dugma. So Rabbi Yeshua bringing dafke this kind of an example of the lamb and the sheep, which became many sounds, is moving as in their dugma is da teichem was masem biyisol and didn't didan mervi under dugmois. From the fact that Rabbi Yeshua brought this specific example to bring out that point, there is obviously something about this example which is more fitting for the situation of the woman with the with the birds and the karbanis than any other example. So we have to understand what is it about this example which is so fitting to the story of the woman and her karbanis. And one should not say, as the Mishnah brings the dogma from Yerusha, that the reason that the Mishnah doesn't give the example of the inheritance, that by kinim is nishkan shini in the karbanis, does he at free gedab bringin? Because by the story of the woman with the birds, there is no change in what her obligations are. Her obligations remain the same. She has to bring four karbanas. Z is normaisav alein. The only reason that she has to add to the number of four karbanas is because of the mistakes and the confusion that happened. But nothing changed as far as her obligation. Mashenkin by Yerusha is the Meir's bottle, but when it comes to the Yerusha, the person that bequeaths it, he is gone. That person is gone. There, that situation no longer exists. But Amoyrba Kevis is bottle the Koil, Punim Kevis Be'eserot Girlept. And to say that this is the reason why the Mishnah doesn't want to bring the example of the person that died, and therefore his obligations cease to exist and it goes over to a new situation completely, and therefore maybe it's a bad example. You can't say that that's the answer, because the same with the example that is brought by the Mishnah, by Rabbi Yeshua, which is that the sheep died, so also the sheep, the voice of the sheep is no longer available. It's completely changed to a whole new set of voice, of sounds. So therefore it's exactly the same as the person that died and left an inheritance, so therefore that can't be the reason. Another thing that we have to understand, that me bring that dogma on a moshul is as bechteitzol tzukum in an avonis adover. Why does somebody give an example, a parable, to explain a situation? Because it's difficult to understand the original thought, so you give an example that makes it easier to understand. Ubefrat benidin didan, especially in our case, be the Rambam zogt as neishoye inyan zor, that as the Rambam says, because this is a very unusual situation, it's an uncommon situation which people are not used to. The far brings Rabbi Yeshua the mashal. That's why Rabbi Yeshua brings something which is more commonly understood in order to explain the situation of the kinim, which is very people are not familiar with that, with those laws. That's why Rabbi Yeshua brings an example to show a certain, and it's similar to the situation of the sheep. The sheep somebody can understand better, so therefore that's why he brings the example. Is nishmuva, and so then we have to understand. So the question is, what exactly does the mashal contribute to our being able to understand better the concept of one thing can be multiplied into many things? In the situation of the kinim, it's just as easily understood. Originally, she only had to bring four. Now she has to bring seven or eight. Quite understandable. Even if we don't understand, we're not used to the concept of what a kinim is and the multiple confusions that could happen. But the general theme, the general idea, which is what Rabbi Yeshua is telling us, that from four can become eight, is quite understood. You don't need an example from a lamb, a sheep, with the different sounds in order to explain that simple concept. A third thing that has to be understood, from Pashtas Loshen Rabbi Yeshua, Zeu Sha'omru, Onish Kamei Sha'omru, from the way Rabbi Yeshua words it, this is what is meant when they say, and he doesn't say something more common, Kamosha Amru, like similar to what they say. He said, this is what is meant when they say. That's a much more emphatic statement. Lama Davadaymor, he could have said, what can this be compared to the story of the sheep? So from the fact that he says, Zeu Shamru, this is what is meant, is mashma, as it is, der mit nicht nor mevayadim inyan von kinim shebe mishneh, that he's trying to explain not only a better explanation about the birds that the Mishnah brings, nor oichva adarabe, but even more so that he's trying to explain it to the contrary. The focus is really on the other thing. Midem din in kinim vet musba masha omrishu chai keli echot. That Zeu Sha'omru means, now that we understand what the kinim situation brought about, the bird situation, now we can understand what they mean when they said that the sheep has one sound and then it turns into seven sounds. It's almost like he's trying to explain the meaning of the statement about the sheep, and that we understand it from the story of the birds. But then the question becomes, the concept of what Rabbi Yeshua is saying about the lamb, the sheep, that has only one sound and then it turns into seven, is an einfacher inyan tivi. It's a very simple concept. It's a natural thing. You don't really need to explain that concept. So what exactly is being explained about the sheep and the seven sounds, that we learn it from the birds and the multiple birds that have to be brought? Another thing. Even if that idea that when it's alive it has one sound and so on, even if that needed more explanation, is nishin yonif na mishnah, it's not the place of a mishnah. That's the job of a mishnah, to explain, or the Torah b'chlal, or the Torah in general needs to explain. The Torah has to give an explanation about what people say. There is there's a phrase out there, and the Torah and the Mishnah have to explain what the phrase means. That's what the Mishnah is for. Muzman zogn. So therefore, we have to say as mitkishu chai v'cholu, that by stating this, that when the sheep is alive and so on, main treb Yeshua nishtam zogn amoshul from amaymer ha'olam. He's not simply saying there's a phrase out there in the world that says about a sheep and seven sounds. He's not just explaining that. Nara inyan v'sus negel din ba'alocha. What he's actually trying to bring out is something which is related to halacha. That's why it's in a mishnah. On das main the mishnah zeh shamru. That's what the mishnah means. That is meant. That's what is meant when it was said. Because we're talking about some matter in halacha. As the beer in the halacha was kum tarois from the maimer, that the explanation of the halacha which is now results from that expression that is said about the sheep. Nemt men arois from dem din in unser mishnah benegei de karbanos the elders bringt. That this, whatever the resulting halacha that comes out from that expression about the sheep and the seven sounds, where do we get that halacha? We get it from our mishnah and the story of the birds. In other words, that the story of the birds allows us to understand the halacha that will now be brought out from the expression that the world says that a sheep has only one sound and then it turns into seven sounds, and what the halacha that results from that will come from the story of the birds. So we have to understand what that is. Gimel, weiter is the Mishnah Mamshich. Then the Mishnah continues and says more. Reb Shimon ben Akasha Omer, Reb Shimon ben Akasha said, Ziknei Ami Oretz, the elders of Am Oretz, somebody who was unlearned, the older they become, their minds become less and less oriented, more disoriented. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, Meisir Safal Neemanim, the Tam Skenim Yikach. He removes the words, the expressions from the trusted ones, and the Tam Skenim Yikach. He takes away the reasoning of the Skenim. So we see that the older people, they lose their ability to be able to understand and so on. Aval zikne teira, but the elders that are scholars, einakein is not so. Ela kolzman she maskinim, the older they get, taitem is yashevas aleim, their minds become more settled. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, bi yishishim chachma v'eirich yamim tfuna, by the elders there is wisdom and long life brings more understanding. So in other words, the opposite, that the elderly people, if they're non-scholars, if they're ignorant, so then they become more and more disoriented the older they become. If they're scholars, then they become more settled and more oriented, let's call it, the older they become. What's the connection between this part of the Mishnah and the earlier part of the Mishnah? The Shaychus La'Kaidmai, just like when as he said in the Mishnah, just like when the sheep dies, it becomes seven sounds. So also the elderly scholars, Kol Zman Shemeskinim Boim L'Dei Toshes Kayach, the older they become and the weaker they become, physically they become weaker, Hey Mesifim Chachma, but they increase their wisdom. So that's related to when the sheep dies, it increases. In other words, that sheep died, that's certainly a weakening of its power, but somehow it increased the amount of sounds that it's able to produce. So also the elderly scholars, even though they become weak physically, but they increase in their wisdom. But we have to understand, number one, if it's there to compare to the sheep, that even though it died, it's able to produce more, and that's why the elderly scholars produce more, even though they become weak. Why do you have to bring in that the elderly ignorant people become less oriented when they get older? Why do we have to bring that into the picture? That has no comparison in what he said before in the Mishnah. Number two, Maika Mashmalon. What is he trying to tell us about the elderly ignorant people? It's an obvious and first, it's the first thought that comes to a person, as Toshes Kayach, that when a person becomes weaker, bring Toshes Chachma, will also bring a diminished state of understanding, of wisdom. That's obvious. So why does we need to say, why does the Mishnah find it necessary to say that the elderly ignorant people become weaker, they become less oriented? That's obvious, and it doesn't need a Mishnah to tell us that, it would seem. Number three, we have to understand, the Yisaidim is even more so. Ziyiz heipach kavanos ha-medubar b'mishnah b'smichas lozeh. This seems to undermine what the Mishnah is actually trying to say. What is the Mishnah trying to say when it comes to the scholars? It's trying to say to Madgezain, as Dafka Dur Zikna over there is trying to say, that when they become old, when the scholars become old, then boimli they touch us chach kayach. When they become weakened physically, kumtsu in chachma. So they become more wise, they become more understanding, more oriented. So this, what he says about the ignorant people, undermines that the older they become, the more disoriented they become. So why does he find it necessary to bring that, the first part of it, in order to undermine what it's trying to say, that when they become weaker, they become more, they have more wisdom? This seems to contradict that. So why bring it all together? Dalit, a fourth thing that we have to understand. Al Gaponim hatta das gedab zogen l'achrei von dem chiddush in the baba von der Zikne Teire. If for some reason he does want to bring the statement about the elderly ignorant people, at least bring it after talking about the elderly scholars, that they become more wise, which fits with the previous part of the Mishnah, which talks about the sheep, that when it dies it produces more. Bring about the elderly scholars, and then if you want, you could say, however, the elderly ignorant people, they lose their capacity as they get older. So in other words, the order would be as afal pivas bazeis nitais of yishvadaitam, even though by the scholars they become more understanding and they get more wisdom as they get older, but on the other hand, the Mishnah could conclude by saying, is hapche by zikni amoret, you should know that by ignorant people it works the other way around. But at least the two similar situations of the sheep that becomes increased to seven, and the elderly, as they become weaker, they become more knowledgeable and more understanding, that they will be next to each other. Then you can throw in also about the elderly ignorant, if you find that it's necessary to speak about that. So we have many questions on the three different statements in the Mishnah that we have to understand. The bir, the nekudas habir b'chol zeh, the explanation of all this is. Fun dem din fun kinim kumta rois achidush inyan. From this halacha in regards to the birds, the multiple birds that have to be brought out, that brought as a carbon, it brings out a new, a novel idea. Be'etzem likt eifayeldes achir fun kein echad. The original obligation for the woman is that she has to bring two birds, one set of birds, one pair of birds. Echad lo oilav, echad lo chatas. One is an oilav, one is a chatas. So menidin didan. In the case of the Mishnah, liktaif ir, eichtachiev nidra. In addition to that, she also took upon herself a personal obligation to bring two karbonas. So she has those two as well. Shtei predis lo oilav, two birds as a karbon oilav. But because of the mistakes that were made and the uncertainties that we have about what she committed to in the first place, which are brought about because of the woman unsure and the kayin is not sure what he did, it leads us to multiple obligations for additional karbonis up until seven, other shmein or even eight, as we said before. So what happens is that we now obligate this woman to bring additional karbonas into the Beis HaMikdash when it's possible that she really has no obligation to bring these additional karbonas, because it's possible that everything went as it should have. It's just that we're not sure, we don't know what happened, but it's possible that everything went okay and there's only an obligation for four, and she already brought those four, but now we're making her bring an additional four, up to four, in order to, because we're not sure. When the karbonos vasin zay is ziyeh mechuyev at meshe makir given, and it's possible that the ones that she is obligated to bring were already done properly, unzi is shein eskapa givaren, and that she already achieved her atonement and fulfilled her obligation, and yitzi given kol achayiv shalah, she fulfilled the full obligation of what she took upon herself as well. Bashar chulim ba'azara, and the other carbon, at least the one carbon chatas, which a chatas cannot be brought as a gift. It's only if you're chayiv to bring the chatas can you bring a carbon chatas. And if it turns out that she already brought her carbon chatas properly, and now she's bringing an additional one, she's actually bringing something which is not required, and therefore it's chulin, because you can't bring a karma chatas as an adava, as a personal donation. So now we're shechting and bringing a carbon of a chatas which is chulin, which is not really sanctified, because since she doesn't need to bring it, bringing it doesn't really sanctify it, because there's no obligation for a chatas, and therefore that's a very serious violation of bringing chulin, something which is unsanctified, and shechting it in the Beis HaMikdash area. That is a very serious violation. So it's possible, what he's saying is like this: she only has an obligation to bring four. It's quite possible that she already brought those four properly, and now we're making her bring an additional four, which maybe she doesn't need to bring them at all, and it's possible that it's even undermining what should be done, because it's bringing us to a situation of bringing to the Beis HaMikdash something which is an unsanctified animal or bird, and bringing it as a carbon, which is a serious violation, all because maybe she needs to. So now the Rebbe qualifies it. It's not the only time that we bring a suffix because of a suffix. We bring a carbon, but it's different. Bishleima chatas ha'oif, we can understand in the situation of regards to a chatas ha'oif, the chatas of a bird. Vas kumt oif a suffix. There are many situations which are explained in the Gemara, in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, about we don't know perfectly certainly that a woman has to bring this carbon chatas. For instance, she's unsure whether a woman had a miscarriage, and we don't know exactly what, when in her pregnancy the miscarriage came. If it came before a certain amount of time, like before 40 days, so then it's not considered to be a birth, and she doesn't have to bring a karma chatas. But it's possible that it was after the 40 days, and then it would be, although it's a miscarriage, it's considered a birth. Not a live birth, but a birth, and therefore she has to bring the karbon chatas, but we don't know if it's before 40 or after 40, so she has to bring a karbon suffik, a chatas mitzada suffik, because possibly she has to bring a karbon chatas, and we do that, and she does have to bring it. So therefore we see that this is a common thing. We don't know if she's chayav a karbon chatas, but she has to bring it anyway. So why is the Rebbe making a big thing of it over here? Yeshleimer, because we can explain the difference to be Kipashtus Alimid Gemara, as is simply understood from the Gemara, as the Torah at Machadish given, that the Torah gave us this this nuance in the Halacha, as a filu eifasofik eibnitma, that even when somebody is not 100% certain that they became tamei, like in this case, where if she gave birth, if her miscarriage was considered a birth, then she becomes tamei, and that's why she has to bring a korban chatos. And so we don't know for sure. Is he oy chayav a korban kapara? The Torah says that even if you're not 100% certain that you became tamei, you still need to bring a korban in order to bring you to a state of atonement, of to clear your tumah. And it's only through this bringing of this carbon that she's now permitted to eat sanctified foods again, like a carbon, or if she's permitted to eat a truma because she's married to a kohen, then she can only do that after, no, maybe it's only relates to kachim, but she has to bring a carbon in order to permit her to eat like a part of a carbon. So in that case, the Torah says, if you have a suffix of a carbon chatas, whether you have to bring this carbon chatas or not, you have to bring it. The Torah states that. And this could be compared at least as a similarity to another situation. Bedugma vi an oshem toli. Like, for instance, similar to the case of an oshem toli. What is an oshem toli? That's a carbon. If somebody violates certain types of alav, which brings with it chorus, like if somebody inadvertently violates Shabbos, let's say, so they have to bring a korban chatas. What happens if somebody is not sure whether they violated this isur? They're not sure if they inadvertently violated Shabbos, or if they inadvertently ate chalev, a type of forbidden fat, which brings with it a korban chatas. Which brings with it kares, and if you do it by mistake, you have to bring a korban chatas. But there were two pieces of fat on the table, and he ate one. He doesn't know if he ate the one that's kosher or the one that's not kosher, so he doesn't even know if he violated or not. It's possible he did, it's possible he didn't. So that's when you bring a korban oshem tolui. It's a sin offering which is based on a question that you have. You're even uncertain whether you have to bring a carbon altogether, a carbon chatas. So the Torah says you must bring a carbon ashram tolui in order to atone for that question which you have. Inside, was the Torah at Machayev given bringing b'shasiz a sofik imchata, a carbon ashram tolui is brought when there is a question in your mind. You're not sure whether you committed a sin altogether. V'zeu anikr ashram tolui. And that's what's called an oshem toli, shu'a mechaper ala sofik, that it brings atonement to you for the situation which you're in, that you're not sure whether you committed a sin or not. The toilaloi, and it suspends the situation, it puts it into limbo, it takes care of it temporarily, achi yavadaloi bevadish uchada b'shkoga, until you know for sure that you did in fact commit the sin, you did eat the chalev. And therefore, now you have to bring a korban chatas, because now you're certain that you committed the sin. Or, of course, if you find out that you didn't, so then there was no need for anything. But there wouldn't have been a need for anything. But for the oshem tolu, you have to bring anyway. You had to bring it because you were in a state of uncertainty. So we see that the Torah does obligate you to bring a korban in a situation of uncertainty. But that is the similarity to the situation where the woman is not certain whether she's tamei or not. But over here, but our case is completely different. Is though the chiyuv mitchila avado is dikir, she knows what she's obligated to do. She has to bring a korban chatos and a korban oila, and then also two other korban oilas. Those are that's what she has to do. That's without question what she needs to do. When the suffix comes to the Nachvi Avalideya Ishva Kayin, but the questions come up only after that. What was actually done? So there's no new chiyuv that comes up. The chiyuv is well established. The question becomes, we don't know what they actually ended up doing. Siziat Mashim given here a suffix of them chiyuv in Eskapala, because now we're not certain whether she fully brought the proper karbanas that she was supposed to bring, which she absolutely has to bring them certainly not a suffik. The suffik only comes when, what did she do? What did she actually end up doing? Oichan, another thing. Now we have to ask the question, these seven additional or eight additional karbonas, what exactly is their status? What kind of a status do they have? We understand the status of a karbon that the Torah sets, that you have to bring it minas misafik. So it has a, so let's say it's called an ashen tali, or it's a chatas misafik, because it's possible that you need to bring a chatas, but we're not sure that she has to bring a chatas. But over here, we know exactly what she has to bring. But there are seven or eight new karbanas which are introduced into the situation, which we don't know exactly how to qualify them. What exactly is their status? Why are they being brought? They're not a suffix. They're not being brought as a suffix because we know exactly what she has to bring. We just don't know what she actually brought. So what is the status of these karbanas? I've dem zok Rabbi Yeshua. So this is what Rabbi Yeshua is trying to explain. Zeu sha'amru, this is what they meant when they said kishu chai kaidle echad shomeis kaidle shiva, about the sheep that becomes seven. L'chayre is the start of the sasr, because when you look at that story, it seems to be contradictory, two contradictory ideas. The shiva kaidle zanishtei kronov shtei chatzaitzeres, the seven sounds which come are from, you know, from the horns, from the thigh bones, and so on. Vazei zainen kaidles fun karnayim shoikim. What are they? They are sounds not of a sheep. They're sounds of a horn. They're sounds of a flute that can be made out of the thigh bone of a sheep. And those sounds are totally unrelated to the sound that a sheep makes. It bleats when it's alive. That's the sound that a sheep makes. Playing a tune on a flute is not a sound that a sheep makes. It's not coming from a sheep, it's coming from a flute. A flute can be made from the thigh bone of a sheep, or a drum can be made from the skin of a sheep. But how could you call that a sound that a sheep is making? And still, Amru, they still said, Kishu meis kaila shiva. Somehow the expression still is that when the sheep dies, he gives seven sounds. So even though we don't see the relationship between the sound of the flute or the drum with a sheep, but it's still called the sound that a sheep makes. Al yidei mitzvas hakeves, through the death of the sheep, verem batel de kol echad, that one sound, the bleeding that it makes, is no longer possible. But it brings seven different new sounds that are now able to be produced. But still they call it the sound that the sheep makes. The mit is mevuar, and this, what he's trying to say is that this explains the gedef from the karbonas, what exactly is the status of these karbonas which are brought, because we don't know what happened, whether the woman or the kayim brought the karbonas properly or not, and since we're unsure, now we're going to have to bring a whole bunch of new karbanas. What exactly is the status of those karbanas? Now it explains that aschodz disibah from the karbanas zayin sfeikas zayin gevor geshafen gevoren laachre ire erste karbanas chayva. That even though the reason that we have all these questions about what exactly she needs to do now came only after the original karbanas that she was supposed to bring, which is the Echad L'Chatas and the Echad L'Oila, and then two other carbon oilas. All these questions come after we know that, after those facts are known. That's when the questions come up. Yet, we call all of those seven or eight carbonas which come after the original carbonas, which we know certainly what they need to be, we still call them as coming from those original karbanas which we know. In other words, just like the sheep, the sounds of the flutes and the drums and so on are still brought back or lead back to the sheep, So also all of these karbanos, which are all sveikas, we don't know what happened, and therefore they have to be brought, also can be traced back to her obligatory karbanos, to the ones that we know she needs to bring, and it's still related to those karbanos. So it explains what is the status. The status is it comes from her obligatory karbanos. Even though it's lost a connection, it would seem to have lost a connection, still, as we see by the sheep, it still traces back to there. In other words, Zehaben of Zich, Agedah Chayva, V'chulut, that they have this obligatory status, Punkt V, the Esh, the Karbanos Ira, just like the original four Karbanos, which we understand what their status is, we understand what their obligation is, these also can be traced back to there, and we still call it a result of those original Karbanos. So it leaves us with a satisfactory answer to why all these Karbanos are being brought. Hey, Asibas HaKarban is Nor Mitzad HaSofik. This idea that the reason why the carbon has to be brought is only because we're not sure what happened. Hein v'azay ver the carbon achiyuv glayach v'yir carbon chayva, and then so then how do we call these new carbonists, this whole series of new carbonists to be similar, equal in their obligation to the original carbonists? It seems like why would they be compared to each other? We actually find similarities throughout in other places in Shas. We find, in fact, that sometimes the result of something becomes even more emphatic than its original source, the reason why it happened, what the cause of that effect. The effect sometimes becomes even more emphatic than the cause of that effect, which would shed light on our situation, which is the cause of these karbanos is the original obligations, and somehow these karbanos become equal in their importance, in their emphasis, in their impact as the cause of them, which is the original four obligatory karbanos. Umehem, what are some of those examples? Number one, Badin is Sukkah. We find in regards to the laws of Sukkah, Nesorim v'srochban arba, if there were, in order to use schach, what is the maximum amount of a piece of schach, of the width of a piece of schach? Can you bring a 4x8 sheet of plywood and put it on top of your sukkah? It's kosher material, it's wood, and you put it on top of your sukkah, you could be sitting under, it's like sitting under a roof. Therefore, they made a gzeder, the Chachamim said, that the maximum amount of the width of a piece of schach can be no more than 4 tfachim. Anything more than 4 tfachim, they said it's like sitting under a roof, and therefore that might mislead people to think that you could sit in your kitchen under the roof, and that's your sukkah. So they said you can't have anything more than 4 tfachim wide as a piece of schach. Now, what happens? Hofcha maltzidehem. If you had a piece of wood that is 4 tefachim wide, so that if you put it down on top of your sukkah, it won't be kosher. But if you turn it on its side, it's only 2 tefachim wide. That would be a kosher piece of schach. So what did you do? You turned your piece of schach on its side, and now it only takes up 2 tefachim on the width of your sukkah. Can you do that? Is the din, so the halacha is, as oich demolt is this puzzle, that you can't use it as schach even in that situation, even turning it on its 2 tefachim side, 2 tefachim wide side. The kibin, the yesh shem psul aleim, since it the that piece of wood becomes disqualified as schach because of its width, nasu kishpudim shel machas psulim l'schach, we now treat them like they were metal rods, which metal rods are not kosher as schach at all. These are now seen as metal rods. You can't use that piece of schach at all, because one side of it is 4 tfachim. You can't use it on the other side. B'chol inyan shehoifchem, whichever way you turn it, it's possible for schach. Zetman. So from this we see, as chotch desibe v'tam, v'shyesh shem psul aleim, even though the reason, what is the cause that this piece of schach became disqualified? is mitzad gzeiras tikra. The reason why it's disqualified is because it looks like you're sitting under a roof. Vazdos is dafka eifen sadvas rochman arba, and that would only be looking like you're sitting under a roof would only be if you put it down on its four tfachim wide side. Vertas abegishpudim shlo machta matches, we still treat it as completely possible. Apsul atzmi, that is, if it was a metal, which means that it's essentially possible for schach, it cannot be used as schach, period. And therefore they're also disqualified even if you put it on the two tfachim side, which would not be a problem of gzeiras tikra at all. So we see an example of the origin of this psul is because it looks like a roof. Now that you turned it on its side, it doesn't look like a roof, but the psul becomes even more, it gets a greater impact that it disqualifies it so essentially that you can't use it on any side. When you use it on the tutfachim side, there is no gzeiras tikra. So the gzeiras tikra, which was the cause of this gzeira, now went so far that it even disqualifies it if it doesn't look like a tikra. So we see that the cause of something the result of something can sometimes be even more impactful than its original cause. Another example, Divrei Chasam Sofer, how you doing? The well-known words of the Chasam Sofer, Menagei Yom Tov Sheni Shel Chag HaShavuos, what he says about the second day of Shavuos. As it is chomer von ander Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goli, is that the second day of Shavuos takes on an even greater stringency than any other second day of Yom Tov which we celebrate in Golos, outside of Eretz Yisrael. And he says, how is it, why is it more stringent? Because the reason why we celebrate a second day Shavuos, what is the reason that we celebrate a second day Yom Tov outside of Eretz Yisrael? The reason is because in the time when they used to set the day of the month according to the sighting of the moon, and since people that lived far away, they didn't know when exactly Rosh Chodesh was set, so they had to keep 2 days in order to make sure that they got the right day, in case it was a day earlier or a day later. So they kept 2 days to make sure that they kept Yom Tov in the right day. They didn't know which day it was. But when it comes to Shavuos, Shavuos is not set according to Rosh Chodesh. Shavuos is exactly 50 days after the first day of Pesach, or the second day of Pesach. So therefore, if you know when Pesach was, which months later you could know already, 50 days later everybody knew already, so you knew exactly when Shavuos was going to be. So there was really no need to set a second day of Shavuos, because it was well known, well in advance, when exactly Shavuos would be. So the second day Shavuos is different than every other second day of Yom Tov. But since they didn't want to make a difference between one Yom Tov and another Yom Tov, so they said, we keep 2 days Shavuos as well. So the second day of Shavuos does not come as a result of a question of an uncertainty that we have. The second day of Shavuos, we know exactly what's happening. We know exactly why we're keeping it. It has nothing to do with any uncertainty. Since the second day, as I explained, since by the second day of Shavuos there was never an uncertainty like we do have in regards to Pesach and Sukkot, because the set day of Shavuos is always 50 days since the counting of the Omer, which is starts on the second day of Pesach, and das was mamacht Shavuos zwei tag. And the reason that we make Shavuos for 2 days is bloishol lechalik b'meid, is only to not to make a difference between one that Yom Tov and another. So kumtois. So it comes out the way the Chasam Sofer explains it. Asibosid the Yom Tov sheinishol chagashvuos is Yom Tov sheinishol pesach v'sukkos. What is the reason that we are celebrating 2 days on Shavuos? Is because since we're celebrating 2 days on Pesach and on Sukkos. So since we're celebrating 2 days over there, we don't want to make Shavuos different, and we celebrate 2 days there too. So what is the cause of keeping 2 days of Shavuos? It's because of Sukkot and Pesach. Shalei l'chalek b'mayidus, in order not to make a difference between the different Yom Tovim, which the Sukkot and Pesach are there only out of a doubt, of an uncertainty, because we don't know by Sukkot and Pesach whether this is the right day of Sukkot or not. That's why we keep 2 days over there. As vert aber in Yom Tov Sheni von Shavuos hat teke vachir shol vaday, but as the Chassam Sefer says, that the second day of Shavuos has a certain certainty to it, because we know for sure what it is. It's not because of an uncertainty. We know exactly what we're doing. So therefore there is certain stringencies which come on the second day of Shavuos, which are not present in the second day of Sukkot or Pesach, because over there it's only an uncertainty. Here it has nothing to do with an uncertainty at all. So what comes out is the whole reason why we keep 2 days Shavuos is because of the uncertainty of Pesach and Sukkot. But it leads to that by Shavuos, since it's not an uncertainty, it becomes even more stringent. So it comes only as a result of Sukkot and Pesach, and yet it takes on a bigger stringency even than from where it came. What was the cause of the second day of Shavuos? It takes on. So we see that it's possible that something should be a result of something else and yet has more impact than its cause. So in a similar way also over here, that even though the origin of these karbanos were from a certainty and what results is a suffix, but they take on an importance which is, in the case of Kinnim, it's not greater than the origins of where it came from, but it becomes equal. Even though this is only a suffix, the additional seven or eight are only a suffix, but they take on the same standard as the original obligatory karbonis, which this woman had to bring. The seven or eight additional ones become just as important, and they answer the question of, what exactly are we doing here? Why exactly are we bringing all these karbanos? Yes, just like the sheep, it starts out with one sound and it turns into seven. So also these sheep, these birds as well. But al pi anal siv dalet, based on what we said before, in siv four, explaining that even though it comes from a certainty and it turns into a suffix, it still has the impact, the full impact of its origins. Yeshleimer Eichli Dergisa, we can say also that it teaches something to in the contrary way. As the din von kinim gita bir in kishu chai, kaile echad kishu mez, kaile shiva. Originally, we said that the story of the sheep teaches us about the kinim, how those karbanas become so important. But now we can learn also the other way, that the halacha of the kinim teaches us about the sheep and the seven sounds. Kepashas Loshen Reb Yeshua, which is actually the way Reb Yeshua phrased it. He said, Zeu Sha'amru, which makes it seem that it's the kinim, which the birds, which teach us about the meaning of the sheep, as the Rebbe said originally. See, is balu lamed v'nun salamed. Originally, it's meant as a mashal to explain the situation of kinim, but it also teaches. Now the kinim teach us a lesson about the sheep, even though originally the sheep was meant to teach about the kinim. Das is negeyet umevar gedorim v'dinu v'zayne shayich zu keves shuchai umbas beitzich shumes. That it's teaching us an important lesson about what happens with the sheep when it was alive and how it changes when it dies. What are some of the things that we have to understand about that? Echad mem, one of them is a keves aneved l'avei dezor. Take a situation which a sheep was worshipped by goyim or whatever as an avei dezor, as an idol. But the din is, as it is possible mizbeach, the halacha is that if an animal was worshipped as an avodah zarah, then you can't bring that as a carbon. You can never bring that as a carbon. In Gemara, Gefintman the Shaila. So we find the question brought up in the Gemara. It's yes shina lenevad or ein shina lenevad. Whether something that was worshipped and then it went through a change, do we consider that change to remove the status of having been worshipped, or it doesn't remove the fact that it was changed? Doesn't remove the status of having been worshipped and therefore posel lemizbeach. When the Gemara zokt, and the Gemara says, Ados is the Abaya, and that's the quest. That is what is meant by the question. Hamishtachava lebehema tzimramau letchelas. If somebody bows down to an animal, to a sheep, let's say, in other words, worshiping it as an avodah zara. What is the halacha? Can you use the wool of that animal to make the blue wool for the garments of the kohenim? Karneho malachatzaitzres. Can you use the horns of that animal for the shofars or the trumpets in the Beis Hamikdash? Shekeho malachalilin. Can you use the thigh bones for the flutes that the Levim had to use when they played instruments in the Beis Hamikdash? Bnei me'el malapares. Can you use the intestines for the strings of the harps and whatever the nimin shel kinner? That's what the Gemara is asking there. In other words, if the change that occurs to the wool, to the bones which are made into instruments, does that remove from it the status of being worshipped as an avodah zarah? Thus is the nafka mina in halacha from the maimer kevish kshuchai. And this is what is meant by this question, that when the animal is alive, it has one sound. When it dies, it has seven sounds. What is he trying to say? That even though the horns or the flutes which you make out of the body parts of the sheep, so there's a complete change to them, to what they're no longer a sheep, they're body parts from a sheep, they're bones from a sheep or skin from a sheep, and they're no longer considered a sheep. You wouldn't look at the flute and say that's a sheep. It's not a sheep. On the Shiva Kailas and Anishka and Kailas Funa Keves, and the seven sounds that come from these seven instruments that the Mishnah talks about are not the sounds of a sheep. Nobody would call them the sounds of a sheep. Afilinish from Sheikh of Airai. You wouldn't even say that's the sound of the thigh bone of a sheep. Nobody would refer to it that way. Nor says Akhil Chatzaitzers. What you would say is it's the sound of a trumpet. Chalilin, the sound of a flute. Toy for the sound of a drum. These are seven different types of sounds which have no connection at all to the bleeding of a sheep. Of the living sheep. So one might say that the fact that this sheep was worshipped as an avodah zarah, these are not sounds that are coming from a sheep. These are sounds that are coming from a flute or from a drum, and therefore you should be able to use it. Zokt menober, so the halacha says no. Ados is kailei shiva. We still trace the sound back to the sheep. We say that when it was alive, it had one sound. When the sheep is dead, it has seven sounds. In other words, that we consider the sound of the flute or the drum that come from that were made from the body parts of the sheep as being the sound of the sheep. In other words, that you can't use it because it's a neva that was worshipped as an avodah zarah. A filavin zayin shiva kailus. Even when they divide into seven different sounds, bleib betokva zeh shaychas, still it retains its impact on the connection between these sounds and the original sheep. Benegayed in the Torah, the isul gavaya. Or at least in regards to the way the Torah looks at it and the halachas that apply, that it's prohibited to use a worshipped animal for the service of Hashem. When the kele echad fundem keves chai, it retains its connection to this one sound that the sheep made when it was alive. When it's vetnish ken shinui legabedem din neve legabed gavaya, and that we say that it's not considered to have been changed, it still traces back to the original sheep, which means that you're not allowed to use these kinds of flutes and drums and so on in the Beis HaMikdash. So in other words, now that we understand the connection from the kinim, from the story of the birds, that we see the connection between the karbonis as they come result from the original obligatory karbonis, and that we still call them as a part of that whole series of karbonis, and they trace back to the original obligatory ones, so also when we look at a sheep and the seven sounds that come from it, we still say that the seven resulting sounds trace back to the original sheep, which leaves us with the final halacha that you're not allowed to use those body parts because this sheep was worshipped as an avodah zarah. But in dem kem zogen zwei fun, but there are two ways that you can look at it. Number one, tos was the karne psulim lechatzayz shekel chalilim. The fact that the horns or the thigh bones are possible to use is blois vibaldas in emezich fundem keves. So one way of looking at it is blois vibaldas in emezich fundem keves is only because since they come from an animal which was worshipped, so since they come from this animal, therefore they remain prohibited to be used. But the thigh bone or the horn is not, you can't say this was worshipped as an avodah zarah. Nevad, in other words, to call this instrument as a nevad, as far as Hashem is concerned, or as far as a service towards Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, the Baldas is any Gevorah Namatzias Chadasha. You can't call them a worshipped shofar because it was completely changed from what it was originally. It was originally a sheep, now it's a horn, and now it's an instrument. So therefore, you could still say that it's prohibited because it comes from a prohibited source, which is that sheep, but the horn itself has been changed enough that it can no longer be called a worshipped item. That's one way of looking at it. Beis, another way of looking at it is, thus is the was the karnayim psulim lechatzaitzre, is the fact that these horns are can no longer be used as trumpets of the Beis HaMikdash and so on, is punkt vi de keves is psulim is beyach, is no different than the fact that this lamb, this sheep, could not have been brought as a carbon on the mizbeach. Says chalev ze shem abedazara, the horn is termed as a horn that was worshipped. Nevad lagavayad, it was worshipped, and therefore is possible for service of Hashem. Is a gufa, and therefore they themselves, this horn, not that it comes from a place which was prohibited, it is considered to be a worshipped horn, and therefore disgusting to be used in the service in the Beis HaMikdash. What would be the difference? In the Nafka Min Lepoel Yeshleimar, what would be the difference if we look at it this way or that way? Loitamesh Noifin, according to the first way, that it comes from a prohibited source. Vibaldas is any given Givar Namatsiyas Chadosha, but since they themselves became changed, completely changed, is there Isur Noam the Rabbanan? Therefore, we would say that the prohibition is only a rabbinic prohibition. However, Loitam Tzveit Noifin, according to the second way of looking at it, that it itself still retains the status of being worshipped, is the anisa deiraisa never look away. So therefore, it retains its prohibition midairaisa. It's something that was worshipped, which the Torah clearly states cannot be used in the service of Hashem. Und das sagt Rabbi Yeshua, and that's what Rabbi Yeshua says. Zehu she'amru k'shu chai. That's what they meant when they said that when it's alive, it has one voice, and when it dies, it has seven. The din in the Mishnah legabe the karbonos was the eldest brengt. Kitabir in the minyan for k'shu chai. It goes, as we said, it goes the other way. That now that we understand what the birds and what their relationship are with the origin, with the original four birds are. That also explains to us what the situation is, the relationship between the horn or the flute with the original sheep that was worshipped. Punktvi by kinim, just like by the story of the birds, Avopi as the Sibis Achiv is a suffix, even though the reason why she has to bring all these additional karbonis is only because of uncertainties and we don't know what happened. Und die Kinder, was ist, was in. Yeah, it's only in the kinne was sie is in zei given mechuyev. It's not a question of whether she is obligated to bring it. We know exactly what she's obligated to bring it, to bring. But there is a question about what happened about with those things that she had to bring. So the original is a certainty. There is a resulting suffix about we don't know what they did with all those certainties. Seine neuch de gabonis bedugmas koiloi. So still we consider the karbanas, the additional seven or eight karbanas, to be similar to the original sound. In other words, they retain equal importance to the original ones. So they have the same status as a karban chayva that she has to bring them, just like the original four. So also we can also understand similarly the situation of the sheep that was worshipped. That even though the horns and the thigh bones they are completely changed and they're completely new, they're no longer a sheep and so on, say the pasulim is beach, and therefore you would think that you can no longer call them as absolutely pasul to the mizbeach because of their own status, because they've been changed enough. They're totally different than the way they were attached to the part of the animal when it was alive, which then it was considered to be a worshipped animal. We say that when it dies, its sound, it divides into seven sounds, meaning they retain their prohibited status, just like, and therefore it's midai raisa, just like when the animal was alive. That's what he's trying to say. It's koiloi shiva, it's the sound of the sheep that becomes seven. It retains its status as the original sheep, and therefore it's a isa dai raisa. Nasukishpudim shalavai dezora, as we said in regards to the schach, that once it becomes pasul, it retains the status of its psul, no matter how you turn it, no matter how you spin it, as they would say in English today. The Shema Vedazara Nevad, it retains the name as being something that was worshipped. And therefore it retains its status as completely prohibited in the service of Hashem. Midai Raisa. Ver the Shem from the Karnayim Veshoikim, the thigh bone and the horns retain the name of the original sheep, which is that it's a worshipped sheep. Does Vazeis and Apostle Chatzis Vachalolim is Valzei Gufas and Emos Lagavoya, and therefore the reason that they're prohibited is not because they come from something that is disgusting to Hashem, but they themselves remain disgusting to Hashem, and therefore they are also medoraisa to be used in the Beis Hamikdash. Zion. In the inyan from Kshu Chai Koylei Echad, Kshu Meis Koylei Shiva, is Farana Prad versus Nish Doima Lagamre to the Kinem Fiyolis. And this idea of the sheep, that when it's alive it has one sound, when it's dead it has seven sounds, it has a certain detail which is not exactly similar to the situation of the birds. By keves is memadgish ein yirida v'siba. By the sheep, it expresses what was the change that took place. It died. There's one reason, one compromise that happened. It died. The shinig shu meis l'gabe friyig shu chai. The difference between it being alive and being dead. But by the kinim, by the birds, it's not just one thing that happens which leads to all these complications. The Mishnah gives a whole bunch of different scenarios. Hakayin le nimlach. First, the kayin did not consult with the woman to know what to do with these four birds. He thought there was two, that there were two obligations of a yerlis, and therefore one is two of them are oila and two of them are chatas, and he treated it that way. Then there is Eini Yadas Man Nosna. She doesn't know what she gave him. Did she give him Toirim or Bnei Yoina? Ein yedua ma also. Then we don't know what he did. Did he do it on the top? Did he do it on the bottom? Did he bring it as a oila? Did he bring it as a chatos? All of these things are the scenarios that the Mishnah gives. Und die Prate achalukim von min echalu beis minim. And then the difference between bnei yoina and the and so on. This type and that type. Vos mitzad yedda sofik. And as a result of each one of these levels of doubt that we don't know, we're uncertainties. Come to a carbon, each uncertainty adds another carbon. You have to bring another one in order to cover for that uncertainty. And therefore there have to be 7 or 8 carbonas. So it's not just one change that took place. Multiple issues came up which caused these problems. The Rebbe brings the Mishnah, that's why the Mishnah brings the next situation. Reb Shimon Akasha says, "Ikne ha'me'oritz kolz manshim askinim," that the elderly, when as the ignorant people get older, as the older they get, daitam et tarevas alein, they become more disoriented. Zikne teira, whereas the scholars that become older, kolz manshim askinim, the older they get, daitam et yashavas alein, they become more settled in their minds. Vas in them prata alav is dodin ukudan al, that in this thing about the elderly that become the ignorant people that become older, that's where we see the explanation of what we're looking for. And the Pharisee Maktim Umasmir Zikne Amoris Kozman Shemeskinu Daitam Terefes, which answers the question that we asked originally, why he brings in first of all the whole thing about the elderly ignorant people and what happens to them. And why that's the first thing that is brought in immediately after the explanation of the sheep, because it's from that point that we get our explanation. How? Reb Shimon ben Akashia zot. Reb Shimon ben Akashia is saying, as bizman hazikna is by tamid chachamim boyin letoshes koyach, that when a person gets old, so by a tamid chacham they become weakened. Nechloshim biyafsid gufam, they become weakened and their body begins to, you know, it's starting to fall apart. But still, they become more wise and more understanding. Aber on the other hand, api teva vet chulshesichlam. Naturally, the mind should also become weaker and less capable of understanding. Vimezet is by zikne amoris, as we in fact see. By regular, ordinary, ignorant people, that they become, the older they get, the more their mind becomes weaker and less functional. Still, by the elderly scholars, even though you would think that it would become weaker, it keeps getting better. Thus haste. In other words, afal pi as the maila zeira is the sibir shayna, und the sibir shayna. That even though, what's the quality that brings, which is the original reason why they're getting better, is because they're scholars. Is doch lechayde genug uftu das vazei esechel vet nishvar klenet. So you would think that it would be enough. Regular people, when they get older, they become less functional in their minds. A talmud chacham, a scholar, he doesn't lose function of his mind. He retains his function. Not that it gets better, it just stays level. Nizvi bazikni ame oretz, and then that way the Talmud Chacham is better off than the ignorant person, because he doesn't lose his mind as he gets older. He starts out by saying normal people, they become weaker in their mind as they get older. But Talmud Chacham, he doesn't get weaker in his mind. That would be enough of a contrast. Because by regular people, they become weaker in their mind. Is there chiddush noch gresser? But Rabbi Shimon Akasha says, no, it's not only that. It's not only that a Talmud Chacham keeps a level amount of wisdom, even though normal people lose their wisdom. But it's more. In the chiddush noch gresser, it becomes even more tarbe chachmasam. They become even more wise the weaker they get. They become their minds become stronger, they become more perfect in their thinking. Noch mehr von dem wie sie seine gewöhnt haben, der Chachamim früher. Even more than they were when they were young and strong, and their mind was fully healthy. Yet, somehow, they're becoming even more wise. So in other words, what he's saying is, the reason that he brings out first what happens to regular people is because he's trying to teach you something about the Talmid Chachamim. It would be enough if we were to say that a Talmud Chacham doesn't lose the function of his mind as he gets older. That would be enough of a chiddush. Terrific. Normal people lose their mind, he doesn't. He says no. Not only does he not lose his mind, he just keeps getting smarter and smarter. He becomes more wise as he gets older, which is completely contrary to what happens to regular people. When in Demprat is das mehr bedeimet zum Teichen von Indian Kinemdel Ellen, and this point that it's getting even better in that way, it's similar to the story, to the situation of the birds with the woman. For because by the elderly Talmud Chachamim, the more, the older they get, the better it gets. It's not just a one-time thing, you know, there's this change and, you know, he retains his wisdom. It's not, he got weaker, so he, you know, but he's stable and everything is fine. Nor yet the tagved merchlishus aguf, it's an ongoing thing. It's not just like by the birds, it's not just one thing happened, like by the sheep. He died and now there's seven. By the birds, it's one thing after another. One mistake upon another mistake upon another mistake. It just keeps going on. So also by the elderly, Talmud Chachamim. Every day a person gets weaker and weaker. You would think that he would get less functional in his mind as well. It's an ongoing process. It gets worse and different every day. As it happens, in fact, by regular elderly people, that the older they get, the weaker they get, the less functional they become. And it changes from day to day, or from week to week, or from month to month. So you would think, but by a Talmud Chacham, the contrast is there all the time. It keeps getting better. The other Rabbi Yadatog is that Alts Mer Daitemis Yeshedus Aleim. So every day he becomes even more settled and more wise and so on. This is to answer the question of the difference between the sheep, which is a one-time thing, it died and now it made all these changes. But by the kinim, it was multiple situations which led to the situation that we're in. So he says the same thing happens by Ziknat al-Chachamim. The older they get, the more wise they get. It's not just a one-time thing. Something happened, an accident happened, and now he can't. Regular people are, you know, lose their mind, and this guy got better in his mind. No, it's an ongoing thing. It's one day after another, one week after another, and so on. More similar to the situation of the birds and the woman that has to bring them. And one can even relate it to a matter of halacha, because we know that in Sanhedrin they would also only bring in people that were already elderly, because they are more settled, and they, for this reason, the older they get, the more experienced, the more capable they are to be able to deal with the matters of the Sanhedrin. So that would also be, you know, the older a person gets, the more capable they are of being in the Sanhedrin. Even though in certain situations, when a person becomes too elderly, they're disqualified from certain parts of the Sanhedrin with dealing with capital matters, capital crimes. But generally speaking, the elderly, the older a Rav becomes, the more they're able to deal with situations in a better way. And that's why the Sanhedrin required people of elderly status. And this is similar, as I said, by kinim kanal, to the situation of the birds and the woman, was durch yeder yedide v'safa kum tzu noch anoch in the karbonis, that each situation, each question, each doubt, each uncertainty brings another level of a carbon, brings another carbon to be added, and another carbon to be added. There is the positive side of it. That's the positive side of it. Ches. The Bia Befnimis Inyonim. To explain the inner meaning of all this from the perspective of Chassidus. When the Bia Rashaychas to Rabbi Shua Dafkan, what's the connection between this idea and Rabbi Shua? Because the name Rabbi Shua was given was Stam Kinim Rabbi Shua, that also the whenever there is a there's an opinion in the Sechta Kinim, it's considered to be Rabbi Shua. Say the Kachim Vais Vachlau if even Vazanin Agoy Kaddish. Say the Kachim, which is the order of Mishnayos, which is called Kachim. This Kinim is the last Masechta of Masechta Kachim of Say the Kachim. So Kachim means it. In a certain sense, it means that it's it indicates the holiness of the Yidden, the Jewish people as a holy nation. Oich di mesechta chulin, seinen in zeire is a chelik fun seide kachim. That we know that in seide kachim, one of the mesechtas is mesechta chulin, which means mundane, ordinary, non-holy, not the opposite of holy, but just neutral. So even chulin is a mesechta in kachim, which means even the ordinary things in the Jewish life are also considered to be kachim. When b'siyim say the kachim is memavai, the minyan ayeldus was vaist of the geulah from yidden. And what is the subject matter at the very end of mesechta of say the kachim is the kinim, which talks about the birth, a woman giving birth, which is as an indication of the great birth. The great birth is the geula that the Yidden will go through. Ki yidu as the golus and imshul ibur on the geula lulei. As is well known that the golus is compared to pregnancy. It's where development comes towards birth, and the geula is the birth. The estate in nevuas geula cholad al yolda tzion is baneha. As the nevuas, the prophecy that talks about the geula says that the tzion was pregnant and is in labor and will give birth to her children, meaning to say that the geula is compared to birth. Is Rabbi Yeshua Messiah v'chaisim mevayer? So Rabbi Yeshua, at the very conclusion of the Sechta Kinim, which is the end of Seyde Kachim, explains. V'yazay haltman ois bizmana golus umekum tzud tzuminyin al yeldus. How does one make it through the golos to get to the birth, to the geula? So shamrik shulchai keli echad shulmes keli shiva. So he explains it by saying that is what is meant, that when it's alive it has one sound, when it dies it has seven sounds. State the medrash. What does that mean? It says in the medrash, under Yonas Amal Rabbi Yeshua, under Yonas Hadrian, the evil king, emperor of Rome, said to Rabbi Yeshua, G'doyla ha-kebes ha-imedes bein shiva ze'evim, is the sheep which is surrounded by 70 wolves, is it greater? Will it be able to tolerate, stand up to the 70 wolves? Amalei, so he said to him, G'odil hu haraya, it's the shepherd that is great, shematzila v'shemre v'shevrim l'faneha, that he is the one that saves them and keeps them. It's Hashem that protects the shepherd, Hashem, which protects us. Vasavdem, it's a good answer. Vasavdem is the shaila, but the question could be asked about the sense of bishleim evaniden zainen in amatsa fun keves chai. That is true. That could be true when the yidden are in a situation of when they are a sheep. In other words, they're alive as a sheep. Vas bachlal is those venes is chai. In Eden, the Madrege from the Ovis Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov, which what does it mean? It means when the Jews personify, when it's living within them, you can see within the Yidden their origins, their source from Abraham Yitzchak and Yaakov is movement Vasaray Shemer. Then we can understand why Hashem would protect them. The Eden Vazainen be Madreges Keves Chai, when the Yidden are in a level of a living sheep. They are there, they're carrying forward what Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov taught them, so Hashem wants to protect them. But when the sheep dies, the madrega from the Abbas is nishmer begoli. the Gilui, so that when you look at the Yid, you don't see that he's a son of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, or a daughter of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Unesveren Naya Zibba Zundra Kailis, and so now the sound that comes forth is not the sound of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's new sounds that are coming forth. There are seven other sounds coming out. Mosainanish in the Daga from Kaila Echod, from the Ovis, which do not present the sound of one, which means Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which promoted oneness of Hashem. That's not what you hear when you listen to this Yid. You hear all kinds of different agendas. There's different types of Yidden, and everybody is in a different situation. So then when you look at these people completely fragmented, the Yidden are fragmented and everybody is in a different place, and we don't carry a unified message, the message of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So why is Hashem protecting us now? So that's what Rabbi Yeshua says. When he dies, he has seven sounds. It's his sound. It's the same sound that comes from the same source. The Medrash says, Gefim and Mitzrayim Tasiya, that a vine came forth from Mitzrayim. So the Medrash says, Ma Gefen he chayv and Hashenas al Eitzim Mesim, just like a vine, a grapevine. It's a living, growing thing, but it leans. They would build, wooden structures in order to support the vine. So it's a living thing, but it supports itself on dead wood. Kach Yisrael, so also the Yidden, Heim Chayim Kayamim, they are alive, V'nishanim Al HaMesim Elu HaAvos, and they lean on those who had already passed on, the forefathers, the patriarchs. That's what we lean on. That's the mashal that the Medrash gives. Das heißt, was es ret, es veret Kailu Shiva, what does it mean that it becomes seven voices, Zibin Bazundere Sugim Ba Yidden, that there are seven different types of categories of Yidden? Is das nicht kein Bazundere Metzias Legamri? That doesn't mean that they're completely fragmented and unrelated to each other. Nor das es verbunden in Chai Unchai, that they're all connected and they're alive. Nemtzich von Koyle, and it all comes from the original voice. The Koyle von dem Keves Chai, it comes from the voice of the original sheep. As we said before, the whole Sikha was about that it's all still connected to the origins of that sheep. The Ovis, which in this case means the Ovis. For Zay, Zayn, and the Ovis von Aleph von Yedden Eden, that they are the patriarchs of every Yid and all Yidden, and so it all comes back, even though it's in seven separate sounds and opinions coming forth, they all tie into the original sound of the original sheep, which means from we all speak in the name, or we promote the sounds of the original sheep of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Punkt wie bei der Ovis ist gewesen der Keile Echad, Lavinisch über Shemayim. So just like by the Ovis, what was the sound that they made? What was their voice? What did it project? It was the oneness, the Avinisch über Shemayim, our Father in heaven, Avzayiz das Euch, in the Alezim Bazunder Keile, so also. All the seven different agendas which you hear from different Yidden. As wie sie stehen, Alezim Chalukam Adarigis Navedis Hashem. That each, different Yidden have different types of ways of serving Hashem. There are seven different paths to serve Hashem. Is Bazei, Da, in Zeyer Metzias, the Keile Echad, the Abinu Shav Shamayim, what's underlying all of it is the sound of one, the oneness of Hashem. That's what's coming forth through all of these different agendas. In Yederim, from the Shiva Keilis, is Da, the Akeil Kel Yaakov, and each one of the seven sounds comes the sound, the voice of Yaakov, as the pasuk says. Was peilt as in yidei esav sholtes harei yashemra, which causes that the hands of Esav, which is the counterpart of the sound, the voice of Yaakov, the hands of Esav means the harm that they want to cause the Yidden will not be able to have any effect on them. In other words, that the shepherd protects them even if they are seven separate voices. And thus is Rabbi Yeshua Madgish, and that's what Rabbi Yeshua emphasizes, that when he's dead, It has seven voices. Adosvas, Aleph, Shiva, Chilukah, Madregas, Heim Chayim VeKayamim. That how is it that the seven, that even though it's divided into seven different voices, meaning seven different ways of serving Hashem, how could they all be alive? What does it mean? Kum dos durk shum meis, that comes as a result of the mace. What is the mace? The mace that he said before from the Medrash. Vos nishanim ala meisim ala oves, because they all support themselves, they're all leaning on the oves, which are the ones that passed on already, as the as he said the mashal from the vine, that it leans on the dead wood. The dead wood over here is a mashal of the oves they had passed on already, so we all lean on them, and that's why there is the sound of oneness that comes out, even though we have seven different voices. Tes, is there a tabi shaila, but the question could still be asked. Em is takaz godel hu arei yishem atzilu v'shem, that the shepherd is great and he protects them. Aba vifel is the shir to zayim bein shivim zayivim. But how long does it have to go on that we have to be amongst the 70 wolves? It's true, David should protect them, but how long does it have to go on for? Why is this such a drawn out golus? If them is the Mishnah Mamshir, so the Mishnah continues. As Dur Dembas is Dor Dizikna in Matzav HaGolus, that because of the aged status of the golus, be a Shishim, that they're all old, meaning the golus is old and it goes on for so many days. That tzukumen noch mer chachman tfuna, that what this leads to is that there is more wisdom and more tfuna, more understanding. Valderech vimen gefind by Yitzis Mitzrayim is similar to what we find in regards to Yitzis Mitzrayim. As chodz didnam getainet as mizmavater of rechush godel. Even though the Yidden said, what do we have to stay here such a long time in order to be able to become rich when we leave Mitzrayim? We're willing to give up the wealth. Let us out earlier, and never mind the wealth of Mitzrayim. Let's just get us out of here. But Hashem said, no, he needs us to leave with the great wealth of Mitzrayim. So also here, even though it's getting, how long do we have to go on and keep accumulating more and more wisdom? Let's get out of here already with a little less wisdom. So the Eibishter says, no. The Pnimis HaKavonos HaGolos is the birr on tzuzos, because the real meaning of the golus is to be able to elevate and refine the sparks of holiness. Dafke dem v'emenemt kasvam v'zahavam itam. It's only then when we are able to take along the wealth, meaning the gold and the silver, means the tzuzos. Only then is mevar al tzuzos v'chalke be'olam. Only after a yid is able to elevate all of the sparks which are in his part of the world, is the Geula Hashlem, is the only then can it be called a Geula. If we didn't accomplish the whole job, it can't be a full Geula, and therefore that's why it goes on. Bizmaneinu Anu is the Shingiven Euch the Zikno and the Seva. But now in our day and age, it's already aged, and the Golus is already low old, and it's everything is there already. In Golus, Ulachola Deis Bisua Zikno Mufloga, and it's already a long time in Golus, and it's already a very, very long time, and it's a very, very old Golus. Und Thomas seine Chazusholm geblieben noch etliche Regoim zu der Schleimus HaZikna in Golus. And if, God forbid, there's still another few moments that we have to spend in Golus to get to the ultimate of of the age status, is Yerotzen HaMazol Fagessen of Allah Chazbeinus, so it should be the will of Hashem that he should already forget all these calculations. Even though the rule is that there is no forgetfulness in Hashem's presence. So what do you mean he should forget the Cheshbonos? There is no forgetfulness by Hashem. Is the Chabad the Ganser in Agolus Lamatam Kisei HaKavod? But when do we say that there is no Shikha? That's Lifnei Chisei Chavadecha, in front of the throne of Hashem. But the whole idea of Golus is something which is beneath the throne of Hashem. Vos Dorten is there in a Shikha, where there is a possibility for Shikha. Where the Golus is there could be Shikha, forgetfulness. So, and therefore, Over there, he should forget all of these calculations. We should be redeemed immediately. In our reality, and down here in this world, through Mashiach Tzidkenu.